All right. All right. Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. Guess who's here? I'm here. Regardless of what happens in any of these weeks, I'm here every week. I'm here every week to rep. I'm here. I'm not scared. I don't run from any smoke. So now I'm here. So bring your business. It's your boy, Damon, from DK and Tree Podcast. So look, what do we have? We had Thursday games. We had Saturday games. We had Sunday games. And we had Monday games. And we had a lot of upsets, shockers, people crying. Oh, yeah. We just had a whole helping of football. And we loved it. And we loved it. Win, lose, or draw, we loved it. I know I did. Regardless if we lost, okay, we lost. But guess what? I still loved it. I still love what we do. But I tell you somebody who shouldn't be loving anything right now, and that's the Colts, because I'm starting off with them. I'm starting off with them. Marvin, I see you. Welcome. Lexus, welcome. I see you. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for joining that. Again, I'm starting off with the Colts. I don't even know what to say. I'm just, matter of fact, I'm going to just let the comments just light this one up. How you blow a 33-point lead? Yes, it was a great week of football. 33-point lead. 33. You put 33 points up. And you couldn't tell me you couldn't hold that lead and win the game? And you let Minnesota come back and just beat you? Minnesota came back. Captain Kirk said, yeah, I'm just going to bring this back. Darnell, welcome. I'm just going to bring this back, and y'all just blew this league? Come on. Yeah, instant early bag. You are absolutely right. The whole team, the coaches, the general manager, the owner, all gets that early brown bag. How do you blow a 33-point lead and lose the game? I understand that we had some trials and tribulations earlier and we lost some leads, but 33 points and they come back and they win on you. Unacceptable. That game was that was a rigged game. How that, now I want to explain that one. Lex, how was that game rigged? How was that rigged? That's just, they had no defense. That just said, okay, we got this game to bag. They got lackadaisical. Kind of like what the Cowboys did. I'm going to get to them in a minute. I'm going to leave them alone for right now. But we talking about the Colts. We talking about the ponies. Because they're not even Colts right now. They just ponies. How do you blow a 33-point lead? Jeff Saturday is not a coach. No, apparently he isn't. Because for you to lose that game, no. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. Some people should have been fired. Just like I thought some people around us should have been fired too. But I guess Harbaugh and everybody else said, you know, they did. They said whatever they was. I saw all the comments in the Raven Nation room. Yeah, but a 33-point lead. I just cut the game off. I said, oh, this game's over, and I shouldn't have did that. Shell, welcome. Dante, welcome. Yeah, I just cut the game off. I said, oh, this game is over, and then the game goes in overtime, and Minnesota wins the game. What? Come on, God. Someone explain that to me. Somebody explain that to me. He needs to just hike the football. Yeah. Yeah. The ponies. They ain't coats. They've been downgraded to ponies. Matter of fact, they should have all that stuff stripped off their helmets. Hey, remember, they left Baltimore to go to Indianapolis, right? Yeah, you stay up there with that embarrassing performance. We don't ever want to be associated with you again. Baltimore Colts legacy was Baltimore Colts. That was the Indianapolis Colts that lost that game, and that's on them. And again, and anyone explain to me how you mismanage a game that much and somebody's not fired yet. Because if that had been me and I was the owner, I would have called down and said, yeah, all y'all need to meet with me. Everybody's fired. You're all gone. No reason for you to be here, because that was unacceptable. Angela, welcome. JB, welcome. Oh, everybody's coming in. Yeah, come on in. Come on in. Rep your team, no matter who your team is. If your team won, your team lost, my team lost, but I'm going to still rep my team. That's why I'm wearing my shirt. The North is not enough, because we coming for the North, and we're going to take the North. Cincinnati ain't winning that one. And when Gina comes in here, we got some smoke going on too. So again, I don't understand Colts. But anybody that reps the Colts, come on in here because it's time for us to talk. That's Matt Ryan for you. Yeah, Matt Ryan should have retired. You know, I think after that Super Bowl loss to Tom Brady, he should have just went on ahead and hung it up. Hey, you made it to the Super Bowl. I don't think you'll make it again. But that was so much mismanagement in that game. I'm like, are you serious? I mean, come on now. This is ridiculous. JB here because they won. He only comes when the Steelers win. All right, JB, you got to respond to that. Because he never comes on camera. I don't understand why he's scared to come on camera. I give you a free platform. You come here and thought, yeah, so what? We lost. Yeah, we lost to Cleveland. I ain't worried about that. Guess what? We still got some games down the stretch. We still got Atlanta. We still got Cincy at the end. So, hey, we still got three games to play. Still a lot of football. So I ain't worried about it. You know, of course, you know, they want to go, yeah, we won, you know, this and that. Oh, good game. Nah, ain't no good game. There's never a good game until we win the North. That's when it's a good game. On the tail end of historic losses in the season and the playoffs. Yes, indeed. Because the last team that ever came back like that was the Buffalo Bills. I think it was back in 1992 or 1993. They came back and won a game. They was down, had 3 points. And now Minnesota done broke that record. Come on. Unbelievable. But I'm going to jump on Minnesota here for a second. So you telling me that you got waxed up that bad by a team that doesn't even have a winning record, but you had to come back struggling, but won the game? Come on, man. Now, who's over there coaching that team? I don't understand. I don't understand. Oh, yeah. Hello, JB. Yeah. Yeah, like I said, every time I send y'all links, you'll never respond to us. I ain't sending you no link this week because every time I try to get you to come in here, you don't come in here. Like I said, I give you a free platform. Hey, Dante's in here. He's in here all the time. That's my man, Steelers fan. Rep your team. Win, lose, or draw. Rep your team. You see, I'm repping. See the flag? I'm repping. I always rep. Again, I can't hide because I have to be here every Tuesday. So come on in. But the ponies. Yeah, I would have fired everybody, everyone down there. I would have fired because that was unacceptable. No way I'm going to blow a 33-point lead. Let's not forget Tampa. Couldn't hold a 17. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get to them, Marvin. I'm going to get to them because I was just for sure the way they were scheming up things that they was going to try to at least keep up with Cincy. But then second half, what happens? Tom Doan. What he's showing, he's doing his age and just mismanaging everything. Oh, I'm going to throw it here up, intercept it. Oh, I'm going to throw it here incomplete. Oh, this. Oh, you ran the wrong route. Nah, it's time for you to go to. It's the whole changing of the guard. Yeah, the whole weekend was crazy. I mean, we had snowstorms. Look what happened up in Cleveland. Look what happened up in Buffalo. These wild and crazy games. And let me go to that Buffalo game here for a second. I did say this. Now the Bucks loss was suspect as heck. Yeah, I think it was suspect, but hey, since he just started weighing on them. So, but Buffalo and Miami. Now I was saying that Miami, I didn't think Miami would really play really good in cold weather, but they went up there in a snowstorm and played pretty good. So maybe they was expecting it and maybe they was ready for that. But in the end, Buffalo still took them down, and now Buffalo is just riding high up there. Now, you're in the middle of a snowstorm. Hey, listen, you got a cold weather team, that's their weather. They're going to play that. But you got a warm weather team going to cold weather, they did pretty good. And I have to give props to the Miami Dolphins for that. That was a great game. And for some reason, you still can't count out Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, he's just going to make plays regardless. What's up, D? What's up, Dante? Yeah. So he's going to make plays regardless. The man's a beast. But remember, he played up in Kansas City. So he played in cold weather. So he's used to playing in some type of cold weather. So you're right, JB. The whole weekend was crazy. The Steelers look good for the first time this year. Oh, man. I didn't get to really see their game, but I did see they won. But those Saturday games were great just from beginning to end. Like I said, from the ponies. then you had us getting shellacked by the Browns, and I wasn't too happy about that. And then you got Buffalo and Miami. Oh, man, that was a great way to end the game. Gina, oh, welcome. Clarice, welcome. As I think since gambling came into the league, they are getting suspect. Yeah, and I'm starting to think that too. And that was going to lead me to the Washington game because that man was draped all over that man in the end zone. And you telling me that wasn't P.I.? I'm not going to get on the lining up because he was way off the ball. I'm not going to get on that, but I'm definitely going to get on. Hey, that was, he was all over that man's back. Pass interference to the utmost. And you didn't call that. And I was talking to someone about this, and I'm starting to think the sports betting is really, really affecting, really, really affecting these refs and these outcome and these calls. They've been suspect, cheated us in the Super Bowl. Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm starting to ride with that feeling because the simple fact that these refs are not making these calls, and you clearly see someone on someone's back, but yet you'll call something as soon as they touch the quarterback. Oh, it's roughing the passer, roughing the passer. Erica, welcome. Yeah. Yeah. He was all over his back way before the ball got there. And the ref was looking right at him and said, oh, okay. I was like, wow. So I now see why all the fights were happening up at stadium that night. And we didn't get done to 2 o'clock in the morning. Boo hoo. What you boo hooing? Because I'm talking about, listen, these refs are swaying games. And I've been saying this all season long. These refs are swaying games. And now the sports betting is in here. I honestly believe that they are out here costing some of these games. And it makes no sense. It makes no sense. And this is why I'm just talking up against it, because it makes no sense. Because there's no way 1 week somebody could tear the fur off somebody. Then the next week the refs get involved. And then next day, you know, you and lost the game because of all these unnecessary penalties. Makes no sense. And I'm tired of it. Everybody's tired of it against their game. So, like I said, you can't even touch a quarterback these days, not even touch a quarterback. But if it's something, I agree, it's all politics. Yeah, doesn't surprise me neither. But if you touch a quarterback, touch them, or it's roughing the passer. It was a game last week where there was a sack and they was like roughing the passer. I was like, how's that roughing the passer? He didn't land on him. He didn't. Did I say rigged? Yeah, I'm starting to think stuff is rigged. But wait, listen, we got 3 games left going down the season. We're going to see how these refs going to be doing, because, again, these calls are horrible. They're unacceptable. And it's not fair to us as fans. It's not fair to the people that pay their money to go see these games. And it's not fair to anyone that is invested in watching these games. Not fair to us at all, because, again, you robbing some one team or one of another team. So you get a good play on one end, but you don't get the same play on the other end, especially when they do crazy odds, suspect calls at the end of tighter games. Yeah, that was a classic case of Washington and the Giants. Classic case, because there was a lot of calls that went against Washington, but that game should have went into overtime. It should have went into overtime. And they should have been decided in overtime, but not. Ref said, nope, it's too cold out here. The Raiders game rigged. Now, I saw the end, that play where he threw that ball back pass. He blew it, what, the New England, he threw it back backwards, and then to play a quarter and ran it in for the touchdown. What's going on right now? I just can't. I can't explain it whatsoever. I thought he was wearing a New York jersey. Who'd you think was wearing New York jersey? That because again, these refs are swaying these games, and sometimes it's just blatant. It is blatant of what they're doing. So again, I'm not. It has nothing to do with the ponies being shellacked up there. But even in the calls, like I said, the Washington game, I saw all these different calls. I'm like, okay, all right, who they rooting for here? So, do you want the Giants to win the game? It makes no sense. And like I said, I was disgusted. And then that was the dumbest play ever. Yes, it was. That backwards pass, I'm like, who would do that? And then He threw it. It looked like he just threw it to the defender because the defender was standing there with his hands like this. Yeah, give me the ball. They keep teams and drives alive. Yeah, they trying. They trying to keep them teams and drives alive, but they haven't. They haven't whatsoever. So, like I said, the most upset, the upset of the year is Minnesota. Upset of the year is Minnesota. So, the ponies, because that's what they're going to be called from now on. The ponies, yeah, I got something for y'all. Whole bunch of, you know, something. I'm getting y'all industrial size leaf brown bags. That's what y'all getting, because that was unacceptable for losing that game. Losing that game whatsoever. But we're going to get on Tom Brady here for a second. We're going to get on Tom Brady here for a second. It's time for you to go, bro. And it's just like, it's time for you to go. It's time to have a change of the guard. I understand you still trying to be in the glory. Yes, you are the GOAT right now. It's time for you to go. It's time to train someone else, get somebody younger in there. And you know something? Just sit for the rest of the season. You only got 3 games left. Just give somebody else a chance. It's time for you to go. Because, again, with that performance, down 17, had them down. Had Bengals down 17, nothing, right? Bengals come back on them. Turnovers killed the Bucs. Yeah, absolutely they did. And I'm sitting there watching like, they're going downhill. The next thing you know, what Cincy needed? I just need some momentum. I just need some, and they just ran away with it. They started running away with it. Chase started running away. They just started running away with the game, and they ran away with the game. And you can't stop them. And Gina, I know you're on here. I saw one of your comments saying, oh, tear them a new one. Yeah, I said, oh, yeah, they losing because I think I had to run out. But, yeah, I said, oh, they losing. And then when I saw the final score, yep, this tore the fur off of them. And then I had to go to that Washington debacle. And like I said, with all of them calls up there, there were so many fights up there because people was upset. David, welcome. They were upset. And I get it. Because these refs, like I said, swaying the game. A short field too easy for the Bengals. Yeah, that was way too easy for them. And they was giving them a whole bunch of short fields. And then that fourth down play where they muffed the ball, supposed to have been a fake, and he misses the ball. That changed the whole momentum of the game. Terrific Tom is now Tom Terrible. Yes, he is. Yeah, I see David checking in. Yeah. But it just shows that, again, who's calling these plays? Who is calling these plays on these sidelines? You're sitting up here, you're trying to call these plays, and y'all just like, okay, we're going to do this or we're going to do that. I understand you need points. I get it. I understand you need points. Look at what side of the field you're on. You don't give nobody a short field, especially Cincinnati. You don't give them a short field. Hey, Thomas, welcome. Yeah, you don't give no one a short field. You don't give any team a short field. You make them earn that. They didn't. And that's where they whole messed up. Once that fourth down with that pump, game changed, completely changed. And then Tom throwing those interceptions. And I'm like, wow, unbelievable. And Thomas, again, welcome. Yeah, so it's just unbelievable when we're watching, we're like, okay, oh, this is going to be a blowout. Oh, this game is going to be this. This game is going to be that. And look at what we saw. Look at what we saw. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, Terrific Tom. I think it's time for Terrific Tom to go. We just need some new people in here. We definitely need to change another guard because all these older quarterbacks like Matt Ryan, they just need to go. Even Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has to go. But he's selfish, and everybody knows how I feel about him. Even though they won last night, everybody knows how I feel about him. But, again, another team that played in a dome, that plays not in the elements, they went up to Green Bay in 17-degree weather, and you saw what happened. You saw what happened. It's a product of not playing in any type of extreme weather like that. If I have to go to Green Bay, you think I ain't going to be wearing plenty of Under Armour playing out in that cold? Oh, absolutely. It just shows that, again, when teams play in domes or teams play in warm weather and they go to these cold places, they play differently. Because, again, I wouldn't want you hit me and you done hit me the whole first half and then I done warmed up a little bit, come back. Oh, man, I don't want nobody else hitting me. I'm good. So they're going to pound the ball on you. And that's what they've been doing, pounding the ball. Wilson needs to go right along with him. I agree with that. But, you know, with Wilson doesn't have what he needs around him to be successful. So he doesn't have what he needs. So with Russell Wilson, he just doesn't have. He just went to Denver and said, oh, yeah, just give me the money. Now he wants to get the money back and leave. Now, well, maybe you should have stayed in Seattle. Maybe you should have went to another team. But they did not. So, and see, that's a product of what happens when you decide that, hey, I'm just chasing the money. Yeah, that's a product of what happened. Now you don't get what you need around you. That's why I always say I respected Tom Brady. Even though I don't like the guy, I respected him. Because Tom Brady always took a pay cut to get what he needed around him for him to be successful. And he did it up in New England for a whole time. Fire Harbaugh. I totally agree with you with that whole debacle up in Cleveland. I totally agree with you. Miami did well in the cold weather in Buffalo. Yeah, I agree. They did. And I was actually shocked by that. But like I said, with Tyreek Hill, he's a game changer. But remember, he played in Kansas City, so he was used to that type of weather. I guess they was just game. Say, look, we're not going to worry about this cold weather. We're going to go in here and we're going to perform. Wilson had DK and Lockett. Now we see how they look with Geno. Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I tell you, when you put people in different places, it's just like what I was saying with Detroit, how Matthew Stafford left, went to the Rams, and then Jared Goff went to Detroit. But now if you see that change, Goff has a system up there that's making him successful. And he is playing his butt off. And again, NFC, any NFC team, if Detroit gets a wild card, y'all better watch out, because Detroit is on fire. And they did win. Detroit is beasting. And I've been advocating for them. I was hoping they beat Buffalo on Thanksgiving, but they just came up a little short. But Detroit is a problem. I actually enjoy watching the Lions. Yeah, me too. And it shows how much they have changed. See, breaking news, Lamar did not practice today. I'm concerned that he's shutting it down for the season. But you know something? I don't blame him. I don't blame him whatsoever. Give me my money. Yep. Fins up. I see you. Fins up. Where do you think Lamar will end up? You know something? If they don't pay the man, he might try to go south. Or you know something? I dare to say that Dak Prescott ain't looking good over there in Texas. He might go to Dallas. He might go someplace. Oh, you think with the Bucs? He does like Florida. Yeah, so they might. Hey, listen. If they don't get their stuff together, he won't be here. But I honestly believe that if they don't pay Lamar, Lamar's out of here. And if that happens, I'm letting you know right now that Baltimore fan base, them people are going to be upset. And a lot of people will probably be like, I'm walking out of Baltimore. I won't be a fan here no more. Because when you look at the stadium and everybody comes, what do they wear? Lamar's jersey. Lamar's jersey. Lamar's jersey. Lamar in Pittsburgh? Nah, that ain't going to happen. He ain't going up there. Say Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Vegas. Yeah, definitely. Because Vegas is definitely having some problems. Carr is definitely having some problems up there. I think, again, but I think he wants to go to Florida. If anything, he'll probably go to Florida. And they'll probably end up paying him. If he goes to Tampa Bay, they probably will pay him. So we'll see. Hey, it's interesting. If he didn't practice, hey, remember, we still got Tyler Huntley. You say in the trash, huh? Yeah. Let me see. Lamar would definitely never go to Pittsburgh. I know that for a fact. But again, if they pay Lamar all that money, then what are they going to put around him? Again, that's why I say I always respected Tom Brady. He always took a pay cut to get what he needed around him. And he still did it. Let me see. Miami has the money to give him. Yeah, but I don't think they're going to bring him down there with Tua. Because right now they are loving Tua, so I don't think they're going to switch Tua out. So I would say probably Tampa Bay, or like I said, the Cowboys got the money to pay him, or hey, you never know, 49ers may have money to pay him. I'm getting those jerseys made. I don't blame you. Hey, when you get one made, let me know. I'll give you my size. I think Lamar should stop. He plays Russian roulette on the field and has no insurance to play. I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you with that. I'm afraid of him going to the Steelers because the weapons, defense, and the coaching. But you know something? Hey, if that man feels as though they fit in his pockets, that's where he probably end up. And that'd be the worst thing that Baltimore would have ever done. Ever done. I don't think they want him. I'm good with Tua. Yeah, like I said, y'all got Tua down there, and it's a great program for Tua. So they have definitely been working with Tua, and the man has been beasting. I had to give that man his props. Like I said, when y'all went to Buffalo, I was definitely impressed with that game because I didn't think it would be close with y'all going up there in cold weather. Everything. Baltimore didn't put nothing around Lamar when he was on the rookie salary. When they came to do, they give him a big contract. Yeah, and we still nothing. And if you saw a report today, Devin Duvernay just got hurt in practice today. They're talking about significant foot injury. So now we signed Sammy Watkins back. So now he's coming back in here. So can you send me the link? I want in. If you, Thomas, if you go to my YouTube page and type in my name, you'll be able to pull it up. And then I'll send a link over there to YouTube. So again, it's interesting. But like I said, if I was Lamar and I got hurt, I wouldn't be coming back on that field. Yeah, welcome back, Sammy. Yeah, I wouldn't be coming back on that field. I'm like, oh, you didn't pay me? Oh, $300 million. Nah, I'll come back. I'll come back for $300 million. Matter of fact, ain't even got to be $300. $279 million. I'll come back. Because now that's more than what he wanted for Watson's contract. So Watson, $231 million. Hey, give me $250 million. I'll come back. Give me $250 million. I'm back. But again, it's unbelievable everything that's going on just around the league. And like I said, ref swing games. You know, these quarterbacks, some of them just need to go. Everything. It's a problem around here. And we still got three games to go, and we still got some Saturday games coming up. We still got some Sunday games. We got Thursday night football. We still got games. We got three games that could just sway the whole playoffs away. One team does this. One team doesn't do this. And then next thing you know, whole playoff picture done changed. But again, NFC, if Detroit gets in there, y'all better watch out. And not to mention, let's go to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is hurt. So is he going to play? And I think they playing the Cowboys. So where are my Cowboys fans at? Because I just had these big debates with these Cowboy fans at last night. Yeah, right. Where? Yeah, I had this big debate with these Cowboy fans last night talking about, and this is always their claim to fame. We got five Super Bowls. We got this. We got that. But what have you done for us lately? Where's the Cowboys? What have the Cowboys done? They've gotten to the playoffs and what? Loss, mismanagement. If they franchise, he's going to make roughly $30 million a year. Yeah, but they're probably going to do that, trying to sum up time to pay the man. And again, but like Jay said last week on the show, if Lamar was on defense, that man would have been paid. They believe in paying for some defense, but they don't want to pay for no offense. They will pay for defense, but they will not pay for offense whatsoever. So it makes no sense. And I'm like, this makes no sense whatsoever. But like I said, they definitely got some stuff that they need to take care of. But Cowboys, where you at, Cowboys? Y'all up here talking about, oh, you know, we America's team. We this, we that. Okay. But what happened to y'all last week? I understand that we lost the Jaguars too. I get it. But guess what? Y'all did too in overtime. So where these Cowboys fans at? Y'all America's team? Where's America's team at? Yeah. No. But they talk trash to me all the time. Oh, you know, we this and that. And this is one point that I brought up to them. I said, hey, when y'all was in Texas Stadium, what was the last game that y'all played in Texas Stadium? I said, what was the last game? The very last game y'all played in Texas Stadium. The very last. I said it was against the Ravens. And I said, Jerry Jones picked that team, us, because you thought y'all was going to walk all over top of us. And what happened? We waxed y'all down there. We owned the Dallas Cowboys. Oh, they weren't too happy with me last night talking about that. He's talking about, well, if I come on to you, and this is what he told me, if I come on to your show, you're going to treat me with some dignity and respect. I said, I'm going to wear you out when you get on this show and you talk that nonsense with me. So, and I said, everybody in the comments is going to wear you out also. So, Adam, welcome. Yep. But we own the Cowboys. So, if they want to talk some trash, I'm all for some smoke. But again, what happened with Jacksonville? Remember, y'all just shellacked some teams. Y'all shellacked Minnesota. Y'all shellacked a couple teams. 54 points in the fourth quarter. Y'all barely beat the Houston Texans. Barely beat the Houston Texans. And then you lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But yet you're talking about, oh, but we in the playoffs. What difference does that make? Yeah, you got to make it through the playoffs. And if you don't make it through the playoffs, then guess what? I got a nice couch over here for you with a whole bunch of Raven stuff. We can all sit on it together. Because, hey, we don't make it, I'm going to be sitting on the couch too. But I'm going to be here every week, all the way up to that Super Bowl, talking about everything that's going on. Now, Adam, I did speak about the Commanders, even though I call them the Commodores. I did speak about the Commanders, and I talked about that bull call that they didn't call for y'all. Because we were there last night. We all saw the man was draped all over him. No PI call. Again, these refs, I've said this all season about these refs swaying these games. It makes no sense. Makes no sense. And Thomas, I sent you a link on YouTube, so you should be able to hit it and come in. Once you come in, I'll bring you in. So, again, it makes no sense. So, if you got refs swaying the games, then how is it a fair game? So, we all saying the NFL rigged. Yeah, it's a little bit rigged. It's a little bit rigged. But, like I said, a lot of these games were just a mess, a mess. All right. Let me bring you in here, sir. Oh, yeah. Lord. They got an Eagles fan in here, huh?
Yeah, we do. Yes, we do.
Uh-huh. And y'all barely beat Chicago.
Yes.
Barely beat Chicago. Chicago took y'all down up there now.
You know, it's very weird because that was the tale of two halves. I don't know how to describe what happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the perfect way I could put it. The first half was the hell going on moment where the defense didn't know how to tackle Justin Fields for a play, and they end up scoring on that drive. And then the second half, they became the Eagles again. And the Eagles defense got six sacks, I believe two in the first half by Hassan Reddick, who has been awesome, by the way. And then A.J. Brown went off for 180. I'm still okay. I'm a little bit in my feelings about Hurts being hurt.
Okay.
Say that five times fast. But I feel like there's a chance he might play. And if he does play, I think they're going to lean in the running game that's helped him all year long against the Dallas defense that I know everybody likes to, you know, talk about how bad they are against Jacksonville. But we got to understand that the Dallas defense is still legit, but their pass rush isn't there. So I'm looking at a game where the Eagles' game plan is going to be leaning heavily on the run. And if Hurts is in there or Minshew is in there, it's everything is 5 to 10 yards. There's nothing deep. There is nothing. We're not testing any waters whatsoever. So us getting by the Bears was a little bit frustrating. But
yeah, because y'all barely got past them. Because I was watching that game, I said, said they're having a problem with Justin Fields out there. But remember, y'all practice with Hurts, and Hurts runs like Fields does. So they should have been like, okay, we need to watch what he does because he's been mostly running all season.
Yep,
he's mostly been running all season.
Yeah,
so unless he has a clear window to throw through, Justin Fields really won't throw that ball, he'll run. He'll go to him progressively. I'm out of here. He was doing the same thing Lamar did early in his career.
Yeah, and in fairness, and I'm glad you brought that up, because Lamar and Justin are facing two similar situations, except the difference is that Lamar had a great front office and a head coach to fall back on. Justin Fields' case, there's no true number one receiver. I mean, I like Cole Kmet, but I don't trust him. The offensive line, you saw what happened on Sunday.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you can't trust them. Their running game, I like David Montgomery. I like Herbert, but they can't stay on the field. And then you have a defense that shows up when they want to, and that's not going to win you football games. So it was almost like you had one job. That's what the Eagles thing was. You had one job. It was to stop Fields, and that was it. But I don't know. I guess you could also factor in the weather, which I'm not even going to count as an excuse given what Miami did on Saturday. I know they lost, but the way that Tua and that offense played, you cannot take anything away from them.
No, and I was very shocked at that because, again, when you have a team that plays in warm weather, predominantly warm weather or domes, they don't play that good in cold weather.
Yeah.
And I was shocked. So Miami might be the sleeper in the AFC. So it's making me a little bit nervous.
I would have said, I would have agreed with that if the Jaguars didn't play the way that they've been playing for the last month or so. They are the AFC's Detroit Lions right now, where if you're in the playoffs, you don't want to see them. They kind of remind you of what San Francisco was last year, where they're, you know, they might be battered in certain key positions, but that's all the playoffs is about. You just need one game. You just need one game to show up.
That's it. And that's why I'm harping so much on Detroit, because, again, the way they played, the only game that they got goose egg was New England. That's it. They didn't score any points. Every game, including the Eagles, they only lost by y'all by 3 points.
Yep.
They went back and forth. Detroit is the sleeper. And if they make it into that wild card, I feel sorry for everybody over there in the NFC. The only team that I think remotely will be close to stopping Detroit is the 49ers because of their defense. Because the 49ers have a hell of a defense. And I give all the props in the world. My man Remy comes on here, we battle back and forth. And the 49ers defense is no joke. And I'm giving them props for that. But if Detroit gets in there, it's going to be a problem. It's definitely going to be a problem. Tina, welcome. Yeah, it's going to be a problem. And even with y'all, and Hurts, let's say Hurts doesn't play, and you're saying they have to run. They have to run that ball and rely on that. And they're going to have to make plays to try to get that ball down the field. Again, we don't know which Cowboys team is going to show up. Because if you notice, a lot of people have been tuning in on that defense, like, okay, and they've been holding them at bay. Look at what's been going on. Again, the Houston Texans. Let's go to that game. They almost lost that game to the Houston Texans. Houston's only won one game.
They gave the Chiefs some trouble.
Yes, they did.
Trouble.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
They're still, I've been saying this for a long time. Like, you know, obviously, you know, it's the NFL and you have your hierarchy of great teams, good teams, entertaining teams, and the teams that are bad, and then teams that are looking to be number one pick. This is not college football where you know for sure. If you look at the matchup on paper, that you're guaranteed to score 80 points and they won't score nothing. This is a Sunday league. And the way that Houston has been playing for a large part of the last month or so, say what you want. And yes, they're losing these games, but boy, oh boy, are they contending in every single.
Oh, they're fighting. They're fighting. They're not laying down.
No, they're not.
And that's what scares me about playing teams with a losing record, just like we have to go play Atlanta. That game scares me. That game terrifies me because of the simple fact that we have to go in here and play a team that has nothing to lose.
Yep.
And that terrifies me because of the simple fact that they're going to play lights out and we better go in there and not play any games. But that performance up in Cleveland, what we did, I was totally disgusted with that. Totally what? Disgusted.
So here's my thing. I saw something about Harbaugh being, y'all want to fire Harbaugh? What? Here's my thing, right? No Lamar. J.K. Dobbins is, when he's healthy, quote unquote, when he's healthy, is willing to produce 4 yards a pop. Your offensive line is battered and bruised. Mark Andrews just got back into the lineup, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yep.
You don't have you still to this day do not have a number one receiver.
You no, we don't. It's Andrews. That's the number one receiver. Okay. It's okay. Andrews.
So you don't have a number one. Shoot. I know many people would say that you don't even have a number two receiver. The best you have is a number three receiver on the best team. Okay. Your offensive line is better than Bruce. Your defense is doing their best. Okay. Roquan Smith, since he's gotten there, has been fantastic.
That's been an upgrade and elevation for our defense. He has came in and made an immediate impact for us. An immediate. And that's what we needed.
The problem, however, and I can't believe I'm saying this because typically I don't say this when it comes to Baltimore Ravens defenses, is your secondary. Now, outside of Marlon Humphrey, I know Marcus Peters out for the year, correct?
Yeah, he's going to be out for a little bit, but he may be out for the year.
Okay, he's going to be out for the year.
But, you know, with Peters, and we've had this debate on here, he gambles too much. And that's my problem with Peters. He gambles too much. And then where simple stuff, he don't do it, like pushing someone out of bounds. In that Jacksonville game, all he had to do was push the defender out of bounds, and that wouldn't have been a touchdown. All he had to do was push the defender out of bounds. But he didn't. He lets things slide. So Peters gambles. And then he gets mad when he messes up. So that's a problem.
So here's my thing. So outside of Marlon Humphrey, who on that secondary do you trust?
Well, I trust Clark. I trust Kyle Hamilton. I trust those guys back there. Peters is the only one I don't trust. That's the one I don't trust is Peters because he gambles too much.
Okay. So Peters is an issue. Your offensive line is an issue. Your wide receivers is an issue. You're not very healthy at running back. You're not very healthy at quarterback.
No, we're definitely not healthy at quarterback. But running back, JK's getting himself back together. But Gus, remember, don't sleep on Gus too, because Gus just powers over you. So we good at running back.
That's the thing. I'm not sleeping on him. The league's not sleeping on him. But the problem is they're available for a quarter of the season. So I can only do but so much to go off of that. You see what I'm saying? So
I get what you're saying.
So you fast forward to Saturday against Cleveland, and obviously the play calling did not help matters. Please do not get me wrong. I think the play calling was definitely did not go towards the strength of Huntley in that running game. However, what more did you want the man to do? You can't uncork it deep. You can't trust Huntley with that arm. You want to run the ball, but you know that's about as predictable as it's going to get. The offensive line isn't going to push Myles Garrett around all game long, or that front seven. And then the Cleveland's back four, if they're not having penalties left and right, they're a legitimate secondary themselves. So if you are Harbaugh, how would you dial up that game plan?
Easy. And I would have been did this. Fire Greg Roman. And easy. That's easy, simple. That's simple. I would have fired Greg Roman a long time ago because his play calling is limited and his play calling sucks. He doesn't have anything. Yeah, I've designed plays for Lamar. But when you see these schemes and everything he does, we're not pushing the ball down the field. We may get the runs here. We may get a little sideline pass here. Who are they mostly targeting? Andrews. Andrews. They rarely are targeting the wide receivers. So he doesn't have anything in his scheme for wide receivers. If he does, then okay, we might get lucky and somebody was open. Like DeSean Jackson was open. That one play, I forgot the game we played. DeSean Jackson was wide open down the field. Lamar got like a 60-yard bomb to him. That was a lucky play because DeSean got behind and they lost him. But again, we don't have plays to push us down the field.
With,
if you look at Greg Roman's scheme, if you look at Greg Roman's scheme, like I said, it's pound the ball, pound the rock, pound the rock. I have very little limited pass plays and everything. But are you asking, do I trust Huntley?
Do you trust Huntley and do you trust the receiver?
This is what I trust with Huntley. I say if you design plays for Huntley to get the ball out and get it out quick, yeah, I would trust Huntley. But to throw a ball down the field, no, I wouldn't trust him for that.
Okay.
But they have to design schemes for him. But Greg Roman's playbook is limited, very limited.
So you know that, right? So if you know that it's limited, which also means that it's predictable.
Yes, people know the plays.
Are you saying that you get rid of him at the beginning of the year?
He would have been gone before that season started.
Okay, so you take him out. Who do you bring in?
Well, you have to look at who they have, what's available. So you got your quarterbacks coach, right?
Wait.
I'm going to touch on this. Remember this happened in 2012, right? When they fired the offensive coordinator, Caldwell came in there. What happened? We went to the Super Bowl. Because it was a change. He brought a whole new different playbook in there. Whole new different scheme. So like, okay, we know what they was doing now. We don't know what they're doing now. And that scheme went through. When Gary Kubiak was in there, we had great play calling with Gary Kubiak. Because Gary Kubiak said, okay, I'm going to design these plays. These plays going to look the same, but they're different. And I love Gary Kubiak when he was here. Now you got Greg Roman. Remember, Roman was with the 49ers when Kaepernick was there, right?
Yeah.
And he designed plays for Kaepernick, right? But hey, in the same token, he had Randy Moss over there, right? He had people to throw to. Lamar really doesn't have anybody to throw to other than Andrews.
Right.
Other than Andrews.
So my
yeah, remember Donnell, Rex Ryan was defense.
Okay, so my thing is at what point do you say, you know what? We got to work to our strengths. Because that's what makes the Ravens who they are on offense. That is their identity. Their identity is Lamar Jackson and working around what he's good at. So you know that you can't trust your receivers. You know your best target is Andrews, and all your shots are down the middle. Your running game is predictable. You take Roman out. What do you want? Because if you bring in an offensive coordinator, you're asking for something to change. So what?
It's going to change, and that's what we need, a change, because it has to be a spark. If you look at this is what they always harp on. If it works, no one's going to say anything. But when it's not working, then we have a problem. This hasn't been working for a while. Okay, he wins games here and there. He gets up here and there. But again, he starts changing things. I forgot one game we played, and he passed the ball like the whole first half, and that was not working whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Then they started running the ball. I just forgot which game it was. They started running the ball, and then next thing you know, it set up play action. Then we was getting the ball down the field. No, don't play. We're not a passing team like that. And we don't really have a true number one receiver. So why are you throwing this ball? Now, DeSean Jackson, he said, I'm not going to overwork DeSean. I'm not going to, you know, I'm just going to use him when I need to use him. If DeSean is a threat and he can get behind him, you use him. You use him regardless. Mm-hmm. The goal is to win the game. The goal is to come out of here and win the game. The goal is to get to the playoffs. The goal is to get to the Super Bowl. The goal is to win the Super Bowl. So if you don't have that in your playbook all the time, then you're going to have a problem. Mm. Now, one of my people said, are these comments pointing to if Lamar isn't playing? Now, my thing with it is that even if Lamar wasn't playing, even if Lamar wasn't playing, you still have to have something in there for the backup to go to also. Okay. I say they should have never got rid of Trace McSorley.
Okay, I agree with that take. I will say this also, that if you notice a lot of teams in the league, their starting quarterbacks align with their backup quarterbacks. So, for example, San Francisco is a perfect example of that. Jimmy Garoppolo is not too far from Brock Purdy. So when it comes to the offensive scheme, when somebody steps in, they're not taking plays out of the book. They're just putting that same, because they're not asking too much out of them. I think, because like you said, that's a very good point. If they had a guy like Trace in there who moves around like Lamar, wouldn't say he has the greatest arm in the world, but he can get the ball downfield. When you have a backup that can do something similar to what the starter does, it makes the entire offense so much easier.
It does. But you see, they was playing when Trace was here, they was playing to his strengths also. They played the Trace McSorley strengths. So that's what made it when if Lamar went out, they was like, okay, everything just changed. Okay, the whole look just changed. And now the defense has to worry, okay, we ain't seen Trace, so what is he going to do? The whole thing changed when Trace McSorley was here. See, they're putting Huntley in the same predicament they're putting Lamar in because they're keeping the same schemes. If you change the scheme of when a backup comes in, then we probably would be getting down the field. What? Ain't nobody see Mr. Irrelevant playing like this. Go ahead. Oh.
I love it.
And like I said, you keep people in there. But like I said, our playbook is so limited. And I've been saying this all season. Our playbook is limited. Playbook is horrible. It's horrible. When it works, everybody praises, right? Oh, we good. But when we lose and you see this trend and it's not being addressed, of course we're going to be upset. Of course we're going to be upset. I've never liked Greg Roman's play calling. Never.
Okay, so we're going to change that comment to we're not firing Harbaugh. We're getting rid of Roman.
Oh, no, Harbaugh needs to go too. But here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. And at first, I wasn't on this fire Harbaugh train at first. But here's what I've been starting to notice. Harbaugh is just following his trend. Oh, you know, we need to do this. Oh, we need to do that. Harbaugh, you the head coach. If you see something going on, you got a headset. Call up there. Hey, what are you doing up there? Fix this. Duh. They both need to get out of there. And like with Bashotti should have went to him and said, look, listen, either you fix this or y'all both going to be swimming with the fishes. I just think Bashotti's a big crime boss. But yeah. My thing with this is that it needs to be addressed, and it's not being addressed. Harbaugh's been there. Harbaugh's always been a special teams guy. If you notice, he's focused on defense and special teams. That's what Harbaugh is. There needs to be a change here. Has to be a change. It has to be a change. Because once you filter it out and you get change in, you're getting new energy. You're getting new plays. You're getting new schemes. You're not just being limited to one thing. Last week on the show, they was talking about West Coast offense. We was talking about different, like, West Coast offense. You know, when Greg Roman was with the 49ers. Greg Roman never really ran a West Coast offense. He just designed plays for Kaepernick.
It's just, I got to be honest. It's hard for me to tell somebody that they need to be fired when their team is 9-5. That's hard. That's hard for me to
look fix. At the game. Look at the games we lost. Look at the leads that we blew.
Oh no! Trust me.
Look at the games we lost. Look at the lead. Look at the leads we blew. Who's that fall on? Who's that fall on? The head coach.
Doggone Harbaugh.
That goes on Harbaugh. Because the simple fact that he sees something, like, what is the defense doing? What are you doing? And they brought McDonald from Michigan, right? And brought him in. Now he's running a lot of zone schemes. We don't blitz like we used to. When Wink Martindale was there, when Rex Ryan was there, they go into a lot of zone schemes. And for the most part, it's actually working. And I was actually surprised. But every now and then, they'll throw a blitz in there to mix everything up. But Again, that falls on Harbaugh. We lose games. That game in Cleveland falls on Harbaugh. It falls on Harbaugh. That falls on him because he should have been talking to say, hey, look, we need to fix this. Okay, the fumbles didn't help, right? You know,
yeah.
You drop back, the interceptions don't help. But again, we need better plays because you need to mix this stuff up. Because again, NFL is fast-paced, very fast-paced. Them boys, you hike that ball, them boys coming. Them boys coming for you. So you got to make quick decisions. So we need somebody out there. That's why I loved Antoine Bolden when he was playing. Very physical. Very physical. And he was throwing people off of him. Physical guy. Even Steve Smith. Even though that I call that man Mighty Mouse. Because that man was short, but he had a temper. Like, oh, I'm not small. I'm huge. We need someone like that. We need someone physical. We don't really have anybody really physical other than Andrews.
Ooh. See, because now that makes me think, how would y'all add to the offense now? Because you say you need a physical receiver.
You're going to definitely need one.
That's probably at best going to be your number two.
Depends on who it is.
So
depends on who it is.
Let's see. If you brought in... If you brought in, for example, I'm obviously with everything going on in Chicago, this blunders it. But if you brought in a guy like Chase Claypool, would you take that?
I think it would be an upgrade. It would definitely be an upgrade because we just took back Sammy Watkins. It would definitely be an upgrade.
Okay.
Even would have took T.Y. Hilton. But he went to the Cowboys. Would have took T.Y. Hilton.
If you're looking for strictly upgrades, that's something totally different. Are you looking for strictly upgrades or for a specific type of receiver?
Listen, as long as somebody comes in there and they are trying to like, look, listen, I want the ball, throw me the ball. If they physical and they plan to the way the Ravens play, bring them in here. It doesn't matter who it is. But we definitely need an upgrade other than Andrews because Andrews is the most targeted tight end for the Ravens. Him and Likely now. They're targeting Likely also.
Practically in the league. He's up there.
So my thing with this is that, again, we need more pieces around us. But, again, that's still we need a change. Got to have a change. Again. When we went to the Super Bowl, what happened? They fired the offensive coordinator. Caldwell came in there, took us all the way to the Super Bowl and won it. Need change. At most, get rid of Greg Roman. At most, get rid of him.
I agree.
At most.
So, okay. Ooh. Would you bring in Frank Wright?
Frank Wright. I probably wouldn't.
You wouldn't.
I probably wouldn't. Me. Okay. That's just me. Now, okay. some other cohorts over here, they may. Just me, I wouldn't.
Okay. Would you get somebody from college?
Well, we see how that's worked. Bateman came out of college, right? And now he's hurt. So I will probably, for number two, bring somebody in from college. But someone that's around the league that's right now, bring them in here. But you see, the problem with us is that they know the ball is not going to be passed here. That's why I say we need change. So no receiver is going to come to Baltimore. That's always been our problem. We pay for defense. We will pay you for defense, but we won't really pay you on the offensive side of the ball.
Yep, that sounds like Chicago to me. Relying on their history and 85 Bears and how good our defenses are and how good our defense should be and never pay attention to the way the league is going. I just don't know who would replace those two. That's the thing I've always said about you know, people that want to get, you know, that want people fired and stuff. I'm all for it. as long as you have a legitimate replacement. Like, for example, I love this team right here, but I would be remiss if I wasn't the guy saying that I wanted Howie Roseman out the door pronto after J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor, when we had a chance at DK Metcalf and Justin Jefferson. Yeah, I wanted this man out the door. But the number one question I always have is, who do you have to take a spot? Now, in the executive position, it's a little bit different. Now, when you're talking about the field and the coaching staff, that's a totally different atmosphere.
But you know something, though? Here's the thing. They switch from college all the time, college to NFL, NFL to college. There's always somebody out there with a program that can fit in someone else's system. So it doesn't have to be someone that's known. It doesn't have to be someone. I get what you're saying, but it doesn't have to be someone that's known. If they bring someone in here with a system that they like, it can work. You don't know until you try it. So it doesn't have to be a specific person. It just say, if this program works, hey, we like this program, let's give it a try. So it doesn't have to be a named person that comes in here to replace him. If Harbaugh goes out the door, it could be somebody to come in here with a program that works.
Okay.
It's just like with Tomlin being up there. You know, some of the Steelers fans think Tomlin needs to go. Not all of them feel that way, but they think Tomlin needs to go. They just see a new, fresh thing in there. You know, clean it out. But you see, with the Steelers, they have a history of keeping their coaches. They just don't like firing their coaches. They believe in history up there. And yeah. I get that. But again, sometimes you need to clean house to get better.
Yeah. Like, I love Tomlin personally, but it wouldn't shock me if they got rid of him. My thing is, we all know what the problem is in Pittsburgh. Their offensive coordinator is not an offensive coordinator. I don't know what to make of Matt Canada, but that guy should have never touched a play call sheet, like, ever.
I said this at the beginning of the season. Trubisky ain't the answer. Trubisky is not the answer. Trubisky, whatsoever.
Trubisky was never the answer. But we know that. I know that. You know that. Which is why when they saw that Pickett wasn't starting right away, we was like, what's going on? And it was, oh, we want to give the rookie time. That in this league, and I shared this with somebody not too long ago. I honestly feel like Joe Burrow screwed it up for any first-year or second-year quarterbacks coming into the league. He screwed it up for everybody. So his first year, he gets in there, he tears his ACL, MCL, he's out for the year. That's his rookie year. That's it.
Yep.
His second, he has no offensive line. First year head coach. The running game was suspect. I know Joe Mixon is a good running back. Please don't get me wrong, but he couldn't stay healthy. The defense was average at best, and he led them to the Super Bowl last year. He has ruined it for everybody. So now, you look at Trevor Lawrence, you look at Justin Herbert, you look at these young quarterbacks, and we're asking a lot out of them. Like, usually we want the young quarterbacks to understand offense, win games, and figure it out and take their time. But Burrow screwed it up. He said, you know what? I'll figure this out. We'll just go to the Super Bowl. No problem.
The game in Tennessee, they shouldn't have never won that game in Tennessee. Burrow was sacked so many times in that game. Yes. And they shouldn't have never won that game, but they did. And you got to give them credit for it. They still won that game. And they got to the Super Bowl. No one can take that away from Cincinnati. No one can take that away from them. Now, when we got to the end part of the game, that's when the problems starts coming in.
Oh yeah, and you don't take that away whatsoever. It's just, but I'm just talking about from the standpoint of, you know, the expectations we ask of rookie quarterbacks or even the second year guys. Like, look, I wish I can give you time, but we don't have time to waste here. You see what San Francisco was doing with Trey Lance? They was like, you know what? We don't really like what's going on. So we're just going to sign Jimmy Garoppolo back. That's fine. We'll do it.
And that's fine. But you see what happened. Lance gone for the season. Now Garoppolo's at least gone for the playoffs. And then Purdy comes in there and just beasts out. But again, Shanahan has a play call for all three of them guys. So Shanahan, like, okay, I got this. And you see how that worked out for him? Because he has a great defense. He has a great defense behind him.
He also has one of the best lines in the league also.
So, like I said, Shanahan has a program for them. Again, we just need a fresh start. Now, some of my comments saying we're talking about Tomlin, that if Tomlin gets fired, they'll probably put a black eye on the franchise. And I kind of agree with him, especially with everything that's going on, especially what happened with that other debacle. Wait, and that lawsuit. So, and he's like, what? I think he's what? Very few black coaches, head coaches in the league. So I agree there. They probably did it. A lot of people ask for change up there, but they probably not going to fire Tyron because of that, because they don't want that a lawsuit. Oh, you know, they don't want that. They don't want that black stain on them. And I get that. And that's a good comment, Marvin. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Because it wouldn't look good right now on the league.
Nope.
It would, but so. Nope.
But I would understand it if it happens, because let me take that back. I'm sorry. Because for this, because think about the timing of it. The timing will throw it off. The very first year he has a losing season, he gets fired.
Well, this is not the first year he has a losing season. He had one a couple years ago.
Oh, I know. But people have a tendency to forget about that season existing. But whatever. It would be, he would have his second losing season in how many years he's coached in this league?
I think he's been there about 16 years. I think he's been there about 16 years. He's been there a long time.
Yeah. So his argument would be, okay, so I get let go, whereas who still has a job but really shouldn't have it right now? Ron Rivera is holding on to a thread.
He won't be in Washington. He will not be in Washington after the season.
Okay. We were saying this about Josh McDaniels before the Raiders offense came to life. They might keep him, they may not, depending on how patient they are. Wait. I'm just thinking, you just think about coaches that get chance after chance after chance after chance, and they still don't get left. So that would be his argument. Okay, these coaches, they have 5 years before they even think about letting them go. Where's my chance at? That would be his argument. So I get it. That's a legitimate point.
Yeah, but hey, listen, it is what it is. But as you know, the NFL is a business, and that's the way they run it. This is a business, okay? We thank you for your service, but it's time for you to go. Again, what does every owner want? A Super Bowl trophy. A Super Bowl trophy. And if you're not getting me there, I'm going to get somebody else in here that's going to help me get there. Yep. It's a business. It's a business. And that's all it is. And Marvin said, Harbaugh also. I'm riding with him with that. And again, and we're going to see what's going to happen with this Atlanta game. And when it comes down to Atlanta, we're going to see. Like I said, we're playing a team that has nothing to lose. If we go in there bojangling, we're going to get an L. If we go in there bojangling.
I can't say that they have nothing to lose, because
they ain't making it to the playoffs.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. Let the Bucks lose these last couple games and see what happens.
Atlanta is not making it to the playoffs. They only won, what, 4 games? I think they lost 10.
The NFC South is the NFC South right now. Literally anybody has a chance to win it. The Saints have a chance to win it right now. The Panthers have a chance to win it.
But Atlanta's not making it. Not at all.
So you think you think the Buccaneers are gonna figure it out?
They just may. They seem to have a horseshoe or a rabbit. A lucky rabbit's foot. They just may. But the Saints are still looking good too.
Yeah, they are. That's what I'm saying. I can't rule Atlanta out. I can't rule out New Orleans.
Yeah, but they already out. They don't have a chance to make the playoffs.
Yeah, they do.
They don't. They've lost 10 games.
I think everybody.
And I think they still have a tie.
If I'm not mistaken, I think everybody has a similar record in the division. If I'm not mistaken.
Nah. No. Mm-mm. I'm going to have to pull that one up. Nah.
Yeah, pull it up. I want
to
say.
I'm going to have to pull that one up.
Legitimate. Yeah.
Because, hey, anyone that's listening in the comments, pull up Atlanta's record for me, please. Oh.
Atlanta's out with that last loss.
Oh, wow.
Yes. They're out. They're done. They are done. So, again, team going their team, the Falcons are 5-9. They're 5-9. Thanks, Marvin. Yeah, the Falcons are 5-9. But the thing of it is they done. But that's what I'm talking about. We're going there to play a team that has nothing to lose. Those are the teams that scare me the most. It's teams that have nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
That's how I felt about Chicago. I felt like that was a trap game for us. Like
it almost was.
Yeah, like we kind of need to put the records to the side for a second and just realize that they have Justin Fields and they have some inconsistency. And just because they have inconsistency doesn't mean they can't show up. And
that's
they,
it. It's they truly almost, any given Sunday. Truly any given Sunday for any team. Because as we've been seeing, some shockers, some shellackings, and I'm going to go back to the Colts. I'm sorry, the Ponies, because that's what they are for this one. You got a team down 33-0, and you lose the game? Come on.
Go to the Colts? You want to go to the Colts? You want to know what
the Ponies. The Ponies. Now, they ain't Colts, they Ponies.
You want to know what I want to talk about right now?
Go ahead.
Those New England Patriots. What in the world was that?
I touched on that for a little bit. I don't know who he was throwing the ball to. That was the worst play ever. Worst play ever. You down the field and you just throw it all the way back and defender standing there just like this. Give me the ball and ran it.
And I
touched on it.
The refs got involved in that game too, because I think everybody and their grandmother knows that Keelan Cole did not have both feet in bounds, and how that wasn't overturned, I'll never know. I guess that was the revenge for the tuck rule game. I don't know. But and we say this about New England all the time. Like, they are the most prepared. They have the game plan. They know what to do situationally. That was the most boneheaded play I have ever seen.
Who you blame? The player or the coach? All right, who you blame? The player or the coach?
Jacoby Myers knows better than that. Jacoby Myers knows better than that. I'm just saying.
Who you blame for it?
Do that. They couldn't have. They couldn't have drew it up for them to do that. And the Patriots players actually spoke on it after the game. It was like, yeah, like I guess he was trying to play hero ball or something. Like, that wasn't what was dialed up. I don't know what there is no way you can tell me that Bill Belichick designed that play. There's no way.
Here's my thing. And it's just for every NFL team around the league. If you go in there and you handle business, if you handle business, we wouldn't be in these situations of what we're talking about, all this stuff that's going on around here now. Even with your Eagles, high-powered offense, right? If you go in there and you're handling business and your defense taking care of business, you don't have to worry about getting down to these referees swaying games either which way. Even with us, if we go in there and handle business and maintain the game, we wouldn't have these problems. We wouldn't have these conversations. We wouldn't have none of this. But we don't. From week to week, things change. And I'm like, okay, last week we shellacked somebody, but this week we're struggling against them.
Yep. And you can't figure out why. And it, you know, there are certain, I always believe that there are certain games where, you know, it's a toss up, not just based off of the record or whatever case may be, but it could be a divisional game. You know, those games are always toss ups regardless of the record. You know, like you mentioned earlier about teams with losing records, those games are always toss ups. And games where teams have momentum, but you're not sure if it's legitimate or not, those games are huge. The Lions against the Jets, that was a huge game. That was a huge game for Detroit.
Yeah, it was. But Detroit has been doing this all season. Just showing you, okay, we are here. Detroit is much better than that record is showing. Detroit is much better than that record is showing. Detroit should really be having a winning record. But certain games, they came up short. But they showed you, hey, we here. Hey, we here. And we're going to keep being close. Buffalo should have lost that game on Thanksgiving. They didn't. So, again, it's just tweaking, minor tweaks. But I'm telling you, if Detroit gets in that NFC playoff, everybody over there better watch out.
Yeah.
Everybody better watch out. Because that's a dangerous team.
It'll be a hard out for sure.
Yep. And my man Marvin said he don't believe Belichick called that play. Yeah, I don't either.
I don't believe that, man. That's hard to believe. I can't. No. Mm-mm. Nope. And the only reason why I say that is because if you pay attention to how the play happened, Ramondre Stevenson gets the ball. He runs it up for 20 yards, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then the lateral happens. From that point, the game is tied. You can run out of bounds and go to overtime. There was no need to try to score. Like you wasn't down. This wasn't a situation where you needed a touchdown to pull off a miracle. You just needed to get to overtime.
Right. I get it.
And he was near the out of bounds. That's why I was like, there's so many different factors that even if you remotely were to tell me that Bill Belichick designed that play, you can't prove it to me. You just can't.
Belichick would have never ran a play like that. I know that for a fact. Of course not, Elo. He literally lateraled out of the field goal range. So Donnell said, of course he wouldn't. He said he literally lateraled that ball out of field goal range.
Out of field goal range. Like, come on, man. No way.
Listen. Like I said, truly any given Sunday. It's any given Sunday. And like I said, we still got 3 more weeks to come on here and debate these calls and debate these plays and say, what was that team thinking? But like I said, these trap games is coming up this week, and we in one of them, I'm a little concerned about. Going to play Atlanta, that's a trap game.
I get it. And it's only a trap game because y'all are not healthy. I think if Lamar was playing, this is a totally different story, in my opinion. I don't think we really having a discussion about it being a trap game. But because he's not playing and because of what happened on Saturday, I don't know.
We'll see. But like I said, I'm going to sit there. I'm going to watch all the play calling that Greg seems to call.
Okay. And
if it's suspect, trust and believe next Tuesday, I'm going to be on here and I'm going to expose it because I'm going to be watching this play calling. Because, again, every time something doesn't go right, then Harbaugh's not addressing the issue at all. Oh, he said, we're a team. In his press conference, we're a team. And, you know, this and that. Ravens Nation was outraged. And that social media, they were outraged. And so pretty much somebody told today, they said, yeah, Harbaugh just gave us the finger. That's what he did. Harbaugh gave us the finger. And that's what he did. Again, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch his play calling. And okay, I'm telling you, if we don't put at least 28 points on the board against Atlanta, it's a problem. It's a problem. A problem.
28. It's 28 or more.
I'm saying 28. I'll take 21, but I'm gonna say 28. But again, look look at these teams. Look at Houston. Look at Houston. Taking it to the Cowboys. Look at these teams. They have nothing to lose. So they, I'm gonna play my hardest against you. You're just not gonna run all over top of us. Yeah. I mean, we don't have the old Tom Brady rule where they stole the playbook.
Sorry, there you go. Yep. No, so, no, you don't.
So the thing of it is that, again, we have to go out there and we have to fight for that win. We have to. Matter of fact, we have to win all three of these games. We can't lose another game, plain and simple. Because right now, we neck and neck with the Cincinnati Bengals. We cannot lose a game at all. And neither can Cincy.
I don't think.
Because if Cincy wins out, they're going to win the North. If they lose a game, then the North is going to be decided up in Cincinnati.
I don't think Cincy's losing, man.
They still got Buffalo.
What do they have to play for? The number one seed?
Number one seed is Buffalo.
Yeah, but what they play, they'll be playing for the number one seed because Kansas City's still there.
Yeah, but Buffalo's in number one seed right now. Remember, they got the tiebreak over Kansas City.
Right. So would a win, I guess what I'm asking is, would a win clinch it?
For who? Buffalo? They already got a playoff spot.
Yeah, they got the AFC East. I'm saying with them beating Cincinnati, would that clinch home field advantage for them?
It may or may not.
Okay.
It may or may not.
Okay. That's a toss up game. I'll pay to see that.
So that's again, like a lot of fun. They got Tennessee this week, then they got Buffalo the next week, then they got us the last week. So again, the North is probably gonna be decided in Cincinnati.
Week 18. Yep.
The North is probably gonna be decided in Cincinnati.
And y'all have Atlanta. Who's after Atlanta?
Pittsburgh
and Cincy.
And I got us beating the Steelers again. So if any of my Steelers fans are on here, I got us beating y'all again.
I got y'all beating them too.
So again, that's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to the North. So I think it's going to end up in Cincy. The North is going to be decided in that game. And as my shirt says, the North ain't enough. So
no, it's not. It's not.
Oh, so, I said that, Darnell, that the Bills are playing Cincy. Like I said, I got the Bills beating Cincy. I got them beating them.
Yeah, the Bills beating Cincy?
Yes, I got them beating them. But like I said, we will definitely see what happens. We'll see what happens. Man.
I think it'll be a different story if they kind of boat race Miami. But because they didn't in their own condition, like, you know, when you talk about Buffalo, you talk about snowy, windy, cold, you know, it's hard to play up here. Snow coming down, wind everywhere, this, that, and the third. And you saw what the Bills did against New England in the playoffs last year. I was, you know, if that happened on Saturday, oh, then yeah, by far, Buffalo gets past Cincy. But Cincy has shown that we could be down 17 like this past Sunday. We can be up 14 if we want to. We can chew clock because we got a running game. Our defense, I know Sam Hubbard got hurt, if I'm not mistaken, but you still have a legitimate front seven.
Okay, but remember, you're still dealing with Josh Allen. You're still dealing with him moving around. Josh Allen is a big boy, just like Derrick Henry is. He ain't easy to bring down. It reminds me of Ben Roethlisberger. Ben was not easy to bring down, and Josh Allen is very, very physical. Very, very physical. I got Buffalo on that one.
I get it.
I got Buffalo on that one.
My thing is, in the question I've asked, you know, Buffalo all year long is, you know, at what point do you become too reliant on Josh Allen?
Well, here's the thing. He has Diggs up there. But if Diggs is covered, he still got other people he can throw through. And you, if you notice, if you watch Josh Allen play, he makes plays. Things happen. Yeah. He makes things happen. He extends the plays. So the thing of it is Cincy has to try to keep up with that. Now, what I've been noticing with Cincy been doing on third down is they've been dropping eight in coverage to keep people down. They're backed up. They've been dropping eight in coverage. I said, oh, trust me. I've been watching their schemes. So you don't think that they're not watching that, what they're doing, and coming up with plays for that? They're watching that.
Oh no, I know. And as they should. My thing is, though, is it becomes tricky when you're asking for Allen to, especially in a game like this, to be depended on for 35, 40 plays out of the game. To basically say, when every drive, win every possession, don't make a mistake, don't put the defense in a bad situation, don't mess it up. And I'm not saying that he can't do that. He's shown that all year long that he can do that. But at what point do you say, you know what, instead of you throwing the ball 35, 30 times, we got a solid run game. We're going to shorten it down to 25, 20.
Okay. All right. Look at this. Look at every game Buffalo has played. Look at every game that Buffalo has played this year. Even if they've been tight or nothing, Buffalo has pulled out some wins. Even with the Miami game, Miami going up there playing their heart out in their weather. I get what you're saying as far as that. Miami just came prepared and ready to play, but Buffalo still won that game on their turf. And when you get to Cincy, Cincy's not like a warm place. They right off the water, just like Cleveland is. It's cold up there. Yeah. I've been to their stadium. I went up there last year when the Ravens played them. And right off that water, and trust me, when that it, thank God it was a warmer day. But coming off that water, come on now, you'd be freezing up there. So the thing with this is that they're both used to cold weather, but I think Buffalo just has an edge on them. I think Buffalo
because they have Josh Allen.
Not only that, they got Diggs. They have weapons. They have weapons. Something that we really don't have on offense is weapons.
Since he got some too now.
I'm not counting Cincy out. I never do. I'm not counting Cincy out. But what I'm saying is that I think the Buffalo, they're determined. They're hungry. I'm not saying that Cincy's not hungry, but remember, Buffalo's been there four times and has never won it. They are playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing with a chip on their shoulder. So they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. They're playing to say, hey, we can win it all, and we're going to win it all. Cincy is trying to get back there. Say, hey, we was at the dance. Now we need to try to go win it. So it's just when they meet, it's which one wants it the most. Remember when Buffalo played Kansas City earlier in the season? On fourth downs, they were going for it because they know that these programs, okay, we don't need field goals. We need touchdowns. We need touchdowns. And that's what they've been doing. We need touchdowns. And that's the way they were fighting. And Buffalo ended up edging them out. I'm telling you, that's going to be a different game with them two players. I think Buffalo's going to take that game. And if it does, the North is going to come down to us and Cincy up in Cincinnati.
Do you trust your guys to pull it out?
Yep, I do. I'm always riding with them. I'm always riding my guys. I will never not ride with the Baltimore Ravens.
Even with Greg Roman?
Even with that's what we got. We got to. That's the only option we have. That's the only option we have.
Oh, man. I think it becomes tricky if Lamar plays. If Lamar is healthy and he plays, I think that becomes primetime football, without question.
But if it comes down to the AFC North title, it will be flexed to Sunday Night Football. If it comes down to that title, that's going to be flexed.
That is going to be flexed. I'm trying to think. Who else? the way the Jaguars are playing, well, the way the Jaguars are playing, there's a chance they might flex the Tennessee Titans Jaguars game to Sunday night.
It probably wouldn't be for a division title. Probably wouldn't be if it's not for a division title, they ain't gonna flex it. If that AFC North title is for a division title, they're gonna flex Baltimore and Cincy will be at Sunday Night Football.
What's Tennessee's record right now?
I have no idea. I have no idea right now what their record is.
I think the only reason why we're even talking about the Jaguars is because they may have a shot at winning the division. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say that they're a half game out. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say Jacksonville is a game or a half game out from Tennessee.
Okay. So Jacksonville is 6-8. Tennessee is 7-7.
Ooh. Oh, man. That might be for the division.
So we'll see what happens.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay.
So
I would watch that, by the way. I hope it's entertaining, but I would watch that.
Yeah. I would too, but this is a great dialogue we had, but I'm going to start winding this show down. Everybody has been tuning in. I've been seeing these comments coming in. Let me get to Donnell here. Honestly, the Bucks beat themselves more than the Bengals actually beat them up because they were. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, we got that, Lexus, 7-7. And like I said, they've been tuning in. But again, like I said, I got the Bills edging Cincy. And it's probably coming down to a field goal. I got to imagine them. I definitely got to imagine them. But since you're on the show, I do something at the end of my show called Brown Bag Awards. And you give it to anyone you want, no matter what the team, no matter what their record, you give it to anyone that comes on there at the end of my show. I always tell them, hey, you get the option. I already know who I'm giving brown bags to, but I'll let you give it to them.
Okay.
Any game you want.
Well, if I absolutely have to pick one, I have to talk about them again because they did some heavy lifting. Those Jacksonville Jaguars, that beautiful, beautiful pick six to win against the Cowboys in overtime was splendid. Also, by the way, let me mention that Dallas led them by 17 points at one point.
Yep.
And they gave it up. They gave it up.
So you hear that, and Cowboys fans? You get a brown bag.
I'm sorry. I hate to do it. I know I'm probably revving up the game on Christmas Eve, but Jaguars, for them to play the way that they played and to pull off the comeback and to win in the fashion that they did. Yep. Thank y'all so much. Because y'all make your life so much easier come Christmas Eve. I feel it.
None of my Cowboys fans came in here tonight. I'm not understanding.
Not one
of my Cowboys fans came in here tonight. I'm not understanding that. But Cowboys, you get a brown bag.
Interesting.
I was going to touch on that anyway. Okay. Who else you want to give a brown bag to?
Oh, the New England Patriots.
Oh, New England, huh?
come on, man. Like,
and Donnell agreed with you. He even typed it on the screen. He said Patriots.
I mean, you can't. There is no script. There is no situation. There is no way that you could tell me a week ago, a day ago, 2 weeks ago, at the beginning of the season, that a game would be decided on a lateral launched 15 yards away from field goal range that then gets turned into a practical interception for the touchdown.
Marvin, I got you. Yeah, I got people coming in the comments because they saying for brown bags, but I'm going to let you say it.
Brown bags. Jesus Christ. Oh, my word.
Who else are you giving a brown bag to?
You know what? And this sounds kind of crazy because they won. I was not a huge fan of Denver.
Denver. Okay. Did they even play?
I wish I could tell you. But just going to how, you know, we all expected Denver to be this high-powered offense and you know, to be this team that to have a say in the AFC West.
Mm-hmm.
For them to be on display the way that they were against the Cardinals this past Sunday, I don't care that they won. It just their season as a whole has been a brown bag. Like
the whole season. About them,
there's nothing about them that you like. Russell Wilson is not Russell Wilson. I'm starting to think that they got Huntley from Green Bay at quarterback instead of him. I don't know what happened. I don't know what's happened to him. I already knew about their offensive line, but I didn't know they were that bad. I mean,
they're horrible. They're horrible. And even we had a pitiful performance against them, only winning 10-9. Again, that's why I'm touching on this change in Baltimore, but okay. I'll let you go.
Okay. So offensive line, I saw that coming from a mile away. I just didn't think it was going to be this horrendous. Obviously, the running game was going to be suspect once Williams went out for the year. Kind of a bummer because he was on my fantasy team. Anyway.
But I got to give a shout out to somebody in here. Valencia, she's a Cowboys fan. She was in here. So she said she's here. I got to give her a shout out. She texted and we're here.
I'm relishing all of this come Christmas Eve. So please do the shout out proper.
All right. So Donnell said Mac Jones should get one for getting stiff arm into the earth's core.
That's not his fault. That's not, in fairness to Mac Jones, if you are a grown man standing in front of Chandler Jones, who's 6'6", 250 pounds, coming at you at full speed, I'm pretty sure you're getting stiff-armed to the ground.
So that was a Derrick Henry moment?
In fairness to Mac Jones, I can't help it, man. He don't get a brown bag. In fact, he should get a golden bag for even making an attempt to try to tackle the man, knowing what Jacoby Myers done set him up for. Now, that is a golden bag. He gets a golden bag
for me. He gets a golden bag? I'm going to have to write that one down.
Yes. He gets a golden bag for the effort because he knew he wasn't going to tackle him. He knew that. You knew that. I knew that. He knew that. But he still tried anyway. Man, he gets the golden bag because he knew he was going to get stiff-armed to the ground.
Man, who else please. We got? Anybody else on your list to get a brown bag? Anybody? Ooh. Anybody?
Mm. Zach Wilson.
Zach Wilson, huh? The Jets, huh?
I know he just got back, but boy, oh boy, like it's literally my issue with Zach Wilson, and I'm pretty sure Jets fans feel the same way too. The tough throws that you don't expect him to make, he makes those. But those simple layups, those three-step drop passes that you just need 5 yards, he overthrows them, or it's inaccurate, or it's picked off. He costed the Jets this past Sunday. I think if Mike White was in there, if Mike White was, you know, if he didn't have 15,000 broken ribs,
right?
I think the Jets pulled that off.
Okay.
But nice job, Zach Wilson. You get a brown bag for me. That was crazy. You had one job. Just make the easy passes. We talk about quarterbacks all the time. We just need you to make the simple throws. Don't make those simple mistakes. And Zach Wilson is doing a great job of making those mistakes.
Listen, my comments section is lighting you up. They say hockey need not say one team. Who else gets the brown bag? Because they going off in these comments.
Oh,
I'm not telling you who. You have to give them the brown bag.
You know what? Let me put my fandom aside. My Eagles get a brown bag this week, man.
What? You giving the Eagles? Man, I got Eagles fans that be come through here. I want to hear this reason why.
Okay. We understand that it was a trap game, right? The fact that we had a hard time dealing with Justin Fields out of all quarterbacks. Please don't get me wrong. I like him. He's an emerging star.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a hard time with the defense. That was my thing. You get a brown bag for struggling against that defense that shows up when it wants to.
Right.
Okay. Now, granted, you know, A.J. Brown had 180 and we were able to have Jalen Hurts get 3 rushing touchdowns, which I kind of wish he didn't have one of those touchdowns because he probably doesn't sprain his shoulder. But we don't want to have that conversation right now. But he gets a brown bag from me. They get a brown bag from me.
Okay.
Now the ultimate brown bag.
Stop telling them over there.
the ultimate brown bag. I don't think it gets any darker. I don't think it gets any nastier than this. The Indianapolis Colts.
The ponies.
The ponies. Y'all get the ultimate brown bag there is to mankind. Okay, and a special shout out to my humble, beautiful, lovely, historic Matt Ryan. Shout out to you for creating not only the choke of the Super Bowl, the choke of the international games, the choke of the regular season now. And all we need from you is to choke in the preseason. And you got the whole thing done.
Wait a minute, choke in the preseason.
Oh, yeah, you don't think that's possible? Oh, he'll find a way to get it done. So they were up 33-0 at halftime.
I touched on this as soon as I came on air.
At halftime. When I tell you I cut the game off, I went to sleep, I took a nap, woke up, it's the fourth quarter, it's now 33-36. And I literally looked at the screen and said, the hell going on? What happened?
I said that. I was like, wait a minute. I'm not seeing this right. Maybe this the Twilight Zone.
Maybe
I'm
being punked
or anything like that.
How
did Minnesota come back from this?
Yeah. Mm-mm. No. And you know what makes it worse? If I had told you that some of their drives ended in an interception, 2 punts, I believe there was a fumble recovery also.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to tell me with all those things happening in the second half, this is coming after halftime, all those things happen, and you still find a way to lose this game? Yep. I don't think I need to say anything more. Those ponies get the ultimate, the nastiest brown bag I've ever seen.
Oh, I gave them industrial sized brown bags for that one. But ooh. I have only one more. Only one more. Only one
okay.
more.
Okay.
And
just for that, I'm just
I have one more.
Just and to get in the holiday spirit.
Everyone is gonna agree with me with this one. Everyone. Yes. NFL refs get a brown bag.
Ooh.
Top NFL one. Refs get a brown bag. Because, again, okay. I've touched on this all season with these refs swaying these games from, okay, we tearing a fur off somebody, one penalty, the next thing you know, y'all then came back and beat me. NFL refs, y'all get brown bags. Every last one of them. For calling and for not calling, y'all get brown bags.
Yep. And
I'm definitely giving one to the back of that end zone at the Commodores game. He gets a brown bag of the most. He takes it for everybody.
Yep. And what makes it worse is that if you look at the replay, you visually see McLaurin looking at the ref saying, am I on the line of scrimmage? And the ref saying, yeah, you good. Just for him to be the same ref that throws that flag. Man, please. I'm not a Commanders fan, but I know I would be livid. I would be livid come Monday morning.
They will live it. They will live it. But I appreciate you coming on the show. I appreciate your feedback. Hopefully we can do this again in a couple more weeks. These last 3 weeks we got, even leading up to the playoffs. I hope you get to come on again and we have this dialogue. And then, trust me, your Eagles fans, they're going to be coming for you. They'll probably say, oh, yeah, bring them on next week. Yeah, we're going to have this dialogue. Every day.
Shout them out. So, shout them out.
Anyone, and this is what this platform is for. I'm just an advocate. You come in here, you talk your sport, you talk your game, you rep your team. I rep Ravens, you see, he rep Eagles. Cowboys fans have been here, Ravens fans, Steelers fans, Bengals fans. This show is for every NFL team. It's not just for the Ravens. It's for everyone. Yep. And this is what we're here for. But again, I appreciate you coming on to the show. And Tuesdays, I do this every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Everyone that's listening out there in the airways, if you want to come on in, just come on into my social media platforms. It's all posted. Again, TJ, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll see you. All right.
That's good.